San Jose is a strange team because they're significantly better on the road than they were at home. I watched game three. I don't know if LA did anything necessarily better than they did in the first two games. They just got a huge timely goal in overtime. Did you see anything significantly different or improved from their overall game in three compared to one and two?
Yeah, I think the thing that really jumped out at me was, and it was a statistic at the end that you could measure, it was the physical part of the game. There were a total of 100 hits in the game, and the Kings dished out 61 of those 100 hits. And I think if you watch the way that overtime goal by Tanner Pearce unfolded, Pearson with contact in the corner, Dustin Brown had probably two or three hits within about a 10-second span, and that led to knocking Donskoy off the puck and Tanner Pearson going back the other way. So I think the physical element from the Kings' standpoint was a lot different than it was in the first two games, being that most of those physical hits, or not most of them, but a greater number were coming in the opposition's end. They were slowing down San Jose's breakout. They spent more time in the offensive zone, in particular in the first period where they generated 13 shots on goal and were able to score on the power play. So I think that was a significant difference, that part of the game. And then if you want to take it down to individuals, Andrei Kopitar had the best game of the series that he's had. Drew Doughty had his best game. He played over 35 minutes, and Jonathan Quick was solid in goal. So when your best players are your best players, you're going to put yourself in a good side of things, and the Kings found themselves needing a win, and they were able to get it.
Daryl, we hear words like momentum used a lot in hockey and all sports for that matter. You played the game. There are momentum swings. Obviously you don't want to go down 3-0, but it seems to me, at least mentally in terms of momentum, you can climb a big hill with a win in game four, because 2-2 is a lot different than 3-1, obviously, and you're playing a team that was up on you 3-0 in a series a couple years ago, and if you can put some doubt in that dressing room, that can also help the cause.
Oh, sure, and I think, you know, there's been a lot mentioned about that series a couple of years ago, and I think there's probably a little bit of doubt on the San Jose side of things, with the Kings battling back. But I think also you have to take a look at the personnel on both sides is significantly different, in particular with the Kings. You go back to the 2014 team, there's no Jarrett Stoll, no Mike Richards, no Justin Williams up front, no Slava Voynov, no Willie Mitchell. Matt Green's not in the lineup. Alec Martinez is not in the lineup. So there's some significant changes from that respect. San Jose, they've added Martin Jones in goal, Joel Ward up front, a couple of their younger players are a little bit more mature now. So I think there's been significant changes on both sides. You read about that stuff, people bring it to your, to your awareness, probably more than you want to hear it. But I think from both teams, I think, their coaches are, they put that aside. They don't even look at that. This is the momentum here right now is building it from shift to shift, game to game. And Kings did some positive things, in game three. And the most significant one was getting the victory. So now they've got to come out and get off to a good start. San Jose in all three games got off to a good start, scored on their first shot of all three games. So that's an area where the Kings really want to look to shore things up here, is that first couple of minutes and not let San Jose establish themselves here, in their building, even though San Jose has struggled. They had 18 wins, 20 losses, and then the three OTLs, now lost in the postseason. But, those numbers can change at any given time. And, you don't want to put too much on those numbers, but the Kings would like to see themselves get off to a real assertive start right off the bat.
Daryl, when you look at this Kings team compared to those Stanley Cup winner 2 years ago, what do you see as the biggest differences?
Well, I would probably, take a look at defense first and foremost. A lot of inexperience back in the blue line for the Kings right now. You've got Jamie McBain, who's just playing in his first postseason games, Brayden McNabb. Alec Martinez is not available right now. Matt Green's not available. So Drew Doughty, Jake Muzzin, these guys are called upon to play some huge minutes. Luke Shen comes across, not a lot of experience in postseason play. Rob Scuderi's, he's a couple of years older than he was, when he was back with the Kings. So there's a lot less experience back on that blue line. When you look at the Robin Regiers and the Willie Mitchells, those type of players, and even though Slava Voynov was a young player, he went through the ride of 2012 with the Kings. Alec Martinez not having those guys, available right now. So there's a significant difference back in that blue line. It's just, you know, sometimes it's a split second of time to be able to make a pass or, you know, just to be able to, you know, carry the pace of the game. And you know, the more games that that this group is able to play together, that, you know, the better off that they're going to get. But you've seen spurts of it in the first, you know, first couple of games that, you know, you could see those jitters and, you know, just that inexperience that the experienced forwards of the San Jose Sharks were able to expose and take advantage of.
Daryl, Coach Sutter mixed his lines up a little bit early in the series. Has he settled on something with a little bit of success in winning game three? Are we going to see at least to start what we saw at the end of that third game?
Yeah, you know, I think we'll probably, you know, see a carryover of, you know, the way things finished off. I think, you know, the biggest change, you know, I think because of the inexperience back on the blue line, that's where, you know, Daryl had to compensate and add some experience on that, you know, that fourth unit, bringing guys like Kyle Clifford back into the lineup. And, you know, Andy Andrioff's been exceptional for the Kings for the last month. And, you know, he's unfortunate right now that, you know, he's not in the mix. And a lot of it has to do because of that experience. So bringing a veteran player in like that, a Versteeg, who's, you know, who's won a cup, you know, these type of players, you know, allowed Daryl to be able to have that balance, be able to utilize four lines. And, you know, the Kings have to find a way. They've got to stay out of the penalty box because the more that they can get those four lines in rotation on the ice, the better off that they're going to be. They've taken 14 penalties in the first three games of the series, putting themselves short almost an average of five per game, and that's a little bit too much. If you look at that last game, they were short five times, total of 10 minutes. Drew Doughty was on the ice for seven of those 10 minutes, so you don't want to have to have him exerting that much energy on the defensive part of the game, you know, just in case there's times, you know, when you get your power plays or you're in need of a goal, you know, there's not a lot left in the tank. So having that, the lineup, you know, Daryl's been one that he's not afraid to mix the lines up. The guys are all very comfortable playing with each other. So many guys have got the ability to be able to step up and play in lines one, two, three, and then come down in line four. You know, when you mix it up like that, it makes it a lot more difficult for the opposing team to be able to, you know, get the matchups that they're looking for. So if everybody's contributing and the Kings are still looking for a couple of guys to, you know, to get involved in, you know, in the offense, Tyler Toffoli's been silent so far. He hasn't had a point in the series. You know, here's a guy who led the NHL in plus minus with a plus 35. This year he's a minus four in the postseason. So if they can get him involved a little bit in the offense, and not necessarily mean by scoring goals or getting the points, but just getting his looks, that'll change the way San Jose has to approach, you know, which line they match up against, you know, whoever he's on the ice with.
Talking LA Kings, taking on the San Jose Sharks. Color analyst Daryl Evans joins us. Daryl, how has Vinny LeCavalier looked in his swan song in the National Hockey League?
Well, I think Vinny's having a great, you know, great time. He's accepted the role that he's been given here with the Kings, a veteran player, again, another Stanley Cup championship added to the roster for the Kings. And, you know, he's a big body. He's been good in the faceoff circle. He's been exceptional on the power play. He's a great distributor to the puck. You know, the voice in the locker room. Just his presence, you know, for some of these young players. You know, when you get into a series like this against San Jose, who's got some veteran players as well, these guys, you know, they step to the forefront. And I think Vinny has done a great job. He's given the Kings that, you know, that depth down the middle of the ice, you know, after not having, you know, guys like Mike Richards and Jared Stoll that they had the last couple of years. And it also allows Daryl Sutter, again, the flexibility to be able to move different guys up and down throughout the lineup in different combinations, because he's got three very capable puck possession centermen in Kopitar, Carter, and LeCavalier. And sometimes we've seen him also move Carter to the wing, you know, utilizing, you know, LeCavalier up the middle. So, again, just more options and more flexibility for the entire Kings roster.
Daryl, it takes the group to win a series, you know that, but one of the big adds, obviously, for the Kings was Milan Lucic, that big body who's got enough skill to play in the top six. How's he looked through the first three?
He's been really good. You know, he's been everything that the Kings bargained for when they acquired him. He plays that big, heavy, old-school style of hockey, strong on the walls, drive to the hard areas. As you know, we've mentioned it through the course of the year, you know, his ability to be able to make plays and play with top-end players, I think, has probably opened up the eyes of a lot of people. He's got great instincts out there. I think everybody just, you know, assumes that he's just a big, rugged, you know, rough-nosed type of player, but he's got exceptionally soft hands and great hockey sense. He makes some great plays out there. In a series like this, where it's a physical series, and the deeper the series goes, the more physical it becomes. And, you know, there's more battles to be won along the boards, getting pucks out, getting pucks in. you know, trying to get territory in front of the net, this is where he's really going to jump to the forefront. But Kings are very fortunate to have his presence in the lineup. He's really helped you know, the Kings with, you know, whether he's been on Kopitar's line or he's been on Carter's line. That those lines have had some great success, a lot of because of what he brings to the table on a game-to-game basis.
Darryl, is the biggest concern for the Kings Joe Pavelski?
Well, I think if you just look at statistics alone, you know, of course, that's you know, that's an easy one to, you know, to say. You know, prior to last game, he was averaging 2 points a game. Pavelski's a great player. He's a good skater. He shoots well. He doesn't need a lot of time. He's got a great release. He knows his way around the offensive zone. He knows where the sweet spots are, the soft spots, how to get away from guys. He's got great vision on the ice. He makes the players that he's on the ice with better. So you have to take away his time and space. And, you know, the Kings, for the most part, if they can get, you know, the likes of, you know, the Doughtys and the Muzzins out against him, you know, then that'll help, you know, kind of neutralize, you know, a guy like Joe Pavelski. You know, with guys that skill set, you don't look necessarily to stop them. You look to contain them. And, you know, Joe Pavelski is, you know, is every other, you know, real good player in the National Hockey League. You know, through the course of a game or from game to game in a series, they find a way to get their looks. And Joe's been very good against the Kings this year.
Darryl, enjoy the game tonight. Should be an electrifying atmosphere in the Shark Tank. And, man, if the Kings can win this one, just, you know, history might repeat itself, but also the pressure will change hands drastically to the San Jose Sharks, a team that unfortunately has a history of not being able to finish off teams.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's a huge game, you know, a pivotal game in the series. You don't want to fall back 3-1, but, you know, the Kings are, you know, under the mindset one game at a time, as they did the other night. And that's the way they're going to have to approach this one. The next one means nothing unless you grab this one. So the Kings will be focused right from the get-go and try to get this series even, going back to Staples Center for Friday night.
Thanks, Darryl. Enjoy it.
All right, guys. Have a great one. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you soon.